Marco from Wake.
Is this live?
Ladies and gentlemen, we are.
Yeah, okay. You got your what are you doing?
Thank you, dummies.
Amp Radio.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, brought to you as ever by the Amp Radio Network. This particular show we like to call hashtag SmackMyPicksUp. Basically, if you're new to the show, this is Amp Radio's picks show. And of course, we're here tonight to do it. The pick show, that is. For UFC on ESPN4, which is also known as Dos Anjos versus Edwards, which will be held on July 20th, 2019 at the AT&T Center. And as usual, my name is Proteus. I'm here joined by the usual cast of characters. We thought that perhaps the life of the party was not going to join us tonight, but let's go ahead and get into it. DJ Tony, let's throw to the first lady of Amp Radio. It's Pam from North Carolina.
Snap out of it!
Hey, y'all, it's your official possum saver in the house. I don't know what noises they make, or squeak, squeak, I don't know. But it's been a fun day. I'm, like, dehydrated and delirious, and my head is raging, but I couldn't stand up my guys tonight.
Yeah, as I was saying at the top of the show, we thought you wouldn't be able to make it, but I'm glad you're here, Pammy.
Oh, I almost didn't, and as soon as I hang up, I'm going to go lay down because I have, like, the most raging headache. It's been so humid here, and it's, like, disgustingly humid, but you know, the show must go on, right?
That's what I'm talking about. And, of course, we know all about humidity up here in the this area because it's been extremely hot and humid here
as
well.
Does it really? Does it get humid up there?
Yeah, man. It was like 37 degrees today with the humidity. So, lovely. And, of course,
what is that in real weather?
Yeah, exactly. It's like 100 degrees. In real weather.
All right now,
ladies and gentlemen, let's go ahead and move on to the boss man himself, co-winner. We won't get into that just yet. The original B-boy himself. Go ahead and throw it to your music, DJ Tony. It's Tony time, bitches.
Let's do it.
Hey, DJ!
Tony! You know, guys, I've always said this. I'm such a GDR fan that I follow her all the way to whatever excuse she has this time for not calling out Amanda Nunes. Nothing. All right.
Did she need to, though? I mean, I don't know.
Nobody needs to call out Amanda.
Yeah, I don't know if she's going to get that fight, especially since Amanda
already
beat her.
Henry Cejudo called her out.
Oh, by the way, did you know that Henry Cejudo has a gold medal?
I read that someplace. I don't know if it's true, though.
No. Marco. Let's go ahead and throw to the star of the show, because I think Marco knows whether or not Henry Cejudo has a gold medal. As I mentioned, also coming from deep in the heart of Texas, it's Marco from Waco, brother.
Maybe he's at Area 51.
Marco from Waco. Of course I'm going to get the music because the Blog Talk Radio people love me.
It only works for him. You ever notice that? It only works for him.
Yeah, I did notice.
It only works for Marco.
Because I had to stop. That's why.
That's right. The star of the show.
I'm not on Area 51. I don't want to be, like, abducted by aliens. And, rumor has it that, Cejudo does have a gold medal. But, you know, it's a rumor. We cannot confirm or deny.
Check out the big brain on bread.
I believe
let's
it when I see it. How about
MMA.
That?
Yeah, let's talk some MMA.
Indeed, Marco. Let's talk some MMA. So let's go right ahead and throw to it. DJ Tony, as I mentioned, UFC on ESPN4. That's right. Proper ESPN, ladies and gentlemen. In the welterweight division, we go RDA, Rafael Dos Santos versus three-piece and a soda, Leon Edwards. Ladies and gentlemen, Rafael Dos Santos is number 4 in the division, 28-11-0, 5-8 against Rocky. Number 12 in the division, Leon Edwards. 17-3. Like I said, we should just change his name to three-piece in a soda. DJ,
what
Tony,
are the odds on this?
Hang on 1 second. Coming in at 6-2. All right, Marco, let's go ahead and throw to you. And as Pammy had said or alluded to, I will give you the odds, of course, as always, from five dimes. We got RDA Rafael Dos Santos coming at us at a +110.
What?
And can you believe it, ladies and gentlemen? Three-piece and a soda. Leon
what?
Edwards at a -130. Marco, what you got going on here in the main event? ESPN 4.
It's actually a really good fight, dude. I mean, you got the former lightweight champion, the 130-pound perennial contender, Rafael Dos Anjos. You know, he's like the litmus test for anybody that wants to be a contender. You know, Colby Covington, he won the interim title beating Rafael Dos Anjos. Kamaru Usman had to beat Rafael Dos Anjos before, you know, he got Demian Maia to get to the title fight. So he's the litmus test. You beat Rafael Dos Anjos, you're ready to be a champion. The guy is super good, man. Leon Edwards is on a 7-5 winning streak, but I think the best man he got out there is Cerrone. And, this is going to answer a lot of questions about Leon Edwards. Yeah, everybody talks about the three-piece and a soda, but, you know, Masvidal sucker punched the guy, and they were not on a sanctioned fight. I would say it would be a little bit different if they were actually on a fight. And I'm actually looking forward to see what Leon Edwards can do against Masvidal if he's to win this fight. I'm not selling Rafael Dos Anjos short, but I see Leon Edwards is the guy, the up-and-coming guy. He got the size advantage. He's very rangy. He's a smart fighter, a little bit boring, a little bit on the decision kind of side. But Dos Anjos is a limo test. If he passed this, and I think he will, Leon Edwards is a real deal. And he can set up a mega fight with a Masvidal. Because he's not going to get a title shot with this, you know. It's either Masvidal or Masvidal will get a title shot. And the storyline is already written there. So I'm going to pick Leon Edwards. This is a five-round fight. I think he wins a 48-47 decision. And the odds are super close, so it's going to be super competitive. But I think they're kind of right because they're taking in consideration Leon Edwards' size and range. So give me Leon Edwards by the 48-47 unanimous decision.
All right. And, Marco, I think perhaps the most impressive win was against Gunnar Nelson in his last fight. I know Cerrone was the fight before that, but naturally Cerrone is kind of a 155er, let's be honest, and I think the win against Nelson was more impressive.
Yeah, and that's up for discussion, though. But Cerrone, by the time that he met Leon Edwards, was already around the top five, top six ranking. When he fought Gunnar Nelson was outside the top 10. So, yeah, Gunnar Nelson carried a name as a 170, but Cerrone is a bigger man he has faced. So, it's up for discussion. You know, you can make a case. I would still think the Cerrone win is a little bit bigger on his book.
Yeah, and I maybe I'm just biased because I'm kind of thinking of the last time I saw Nelson live and he just cut open the other cowboy and made him bleed all over the cage in person. So maybe I'm a little bit skewed there. All right, Pammy, let's throw you in the main event here because, Marco thinks that the up-and-comer, the number 12 seed, is going to go ahead and get in there against Red Penny Knight, Rafael Dos Santos, and get in there. He's going to beat him, you know. And he has a problem with the three-piece in the soda. He thinks that, you know, Leon Edwards with sucker punch. What you got going on here, Pam, in the main event? ESPN4.
I'm actually surprised that RDA is the underdog. On paper, it's a good fight. You know, it's so funny because hang on, I've got this creature like walking all over me. Five KOs. RDA has five KOs. Leon Edwards has six KOs.
But, you know, I really couldn't find too much information on Leon Edwards. He's 9-1 of last 10. Both of them have losses to Usman. RDA's last KO win was Cerrone. He has 6-4 of his last 10 losses to Usman, Covington, Ferguson, and Alvarez. So, again, not, you know, bad people to get your ass beat by. Both of these guys are decisionators in wins and losses, but I just think RDA brings a little bit more to the table. He's a third-degree black belt in jiu-jitsu, black belt in Muay Thai, has a chin. I just think he's a little bit more well-rounded, a little bit more experienced, a little bit more talented. I'm picking him with a third-round TKO. I think he's going to use his Muay Thai because he does have Edwards does have a four-inch reach advantage. So I'm picking RDA with the third-round TKO.
All right.
Let me interject myself for a second because I've seen Luke Thomas make this point. There is no black belt in Muay Thai. It's not a black belt system in Muay Thai. That is an Americanized thing. The people that does Muay Thai here in the United States, there is not such a thing of a black belt in Muay Thai. It's more like boxing. You just get better at it. But like I just said, I don't try to pick on you, Pam. It's an American thing that people that teach Muay Thai in the United States invented. But you go to Thailand, you will not find one black belt in Muay Thai because it doesn't exist. They just fight us like keep fighting like boxing, and they just got records in Muay Thai.
Oh, okay.
By the way, I said that in either episode 2 or 3, if you guys, like literally episode 2 or 3, when we were talking about my background, when we were making one of the jokes that we always made about that I'm a white belt in BJJ, there is no, and so I said that, yeah, years ago when we were talking about Joe Proteus and I were talking about the difference between American boxing and Muay Thai, and yeah, Muay Thai does not have a black belt, any belt system,
okay.
Period.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
First of all, I don't know who this Luke Thomas guy is. I definitely do remember DJ Tony bringing that up first.
He's got a black belt in rudeness, I'll tell you that.
And secondly, I mean, I think John Jones is the one who's trying to popularize the black belt in Muay Thai.
Oh,
okay,
so that's
DJ Tony.
Peter came out. That's what he said it.
I don't know who this Luke Thomas person is, so I'm going to take DJ Tony's word over that Luke Thomas fella.
Okay, sorry. Let's continue on.
Okay. So, DJ Tony, I think that one thing that Marco said originally when he was breaking down this fight that, you know, should Leon Edwards get past RDA, that perhaps because Usman – as we know, Dana White has said at the previous press conference that we don't know what's going on with Usman and nobody's in line for Usman. But this Edwards three-piece in a soda against Jorge Masvidal might be a good fight if Edwards is able to get past RDA. So what you got going on here in the main event of ESPN, a UFC on ESPN4, brother?
You know what? It seems to be right, Proteus, because I think whomever Aliyah Abdelaziz, I believe he's Kamaru Usman's manager, right?
Correct.
So it seems like whomever Ali is managing always gets the best fight. So I don't know if the Usman fight is ever going to happen with what do they call him, Street Jesus? No offense to our Lord
Street
and Savior,
Jesus.
But whatever they call him.
Correct.
Right. But I will say this, guys. I scoffed at whenever Rocky Edwards was trying to get this fight with Jorge Masvidal. But he's won 7 straight, guys. I think we forget the fact that, you know, he lost a decision fight to Usman. But you take that away, you know, his last split decision loss was to Claudio Silva. Guys, he's never really had a dominant loss or a loss where he was dominated, at least since he's been in the UFC for 5 years. So, and what we're seeing with Rafael Dos Anjos, I call him, by the way, Ralph, we're that tight. Rafael Souza Dos Anjos, the one thing about him is And Brody and the Tonight joke about this, about the non-audit supplements. But, man, he hasn't looked the same. You got to give me this because you were there, obviously. Marco, he hasn't looked the same since RDA fought Pettis. So if you take away – I mean, he got TKO'd by Alvarez, lost to Tony Ferguson, but, heck, Proteus and I have lost to Tony Ferguson at this point. Lost to Covington, lost to Usman. I think we're going to see Leon Rocky Edwards, guys, and I think he's going to finish RDA with a
– Okay, hey, listen to the names you just mentioned. Listen to the names he lost to. He didn't lose to Scrubster. He lost to any Scrubs on that list.
I mean, Marco, do you want to make my point for me or as well? Because I just want to let DJ Tony get his out, and then I'll make those points
as well.
I'm just joking with you, brother. It's all good. It's all good. Go ahead, Tony. Finish your pick.
No, I'm done. I just don't think RDA is the same RDA, whether it be age or supplements. RDA is not the same RDA.
Well, we need
methadone
around.
Leon Edwards. So, third round, it's a five-round fight. Third round, TKO, Leon Rocky Edwards via punches.
Okay, punches. We got it. So, Marco, like I was just saying, I think that you make good points as well. I mean, I keep saying this to you when I come to do my picks, but like you said, RDA has lost to the best of the best. You know, he missed out on that red panty night, as I mentioned earlier on in the show. And yeah, Leon Edwards, you know, is the surging young buck, but I think that we're seeing a new RDA at 170 pounds, guys. I think that RDA is going to be able to nullify the reach advantage of Edwards, you know, and get to his chin. I think that Leon Edwards is the kind of fighter that I know. I love the UK market. I love the UK fighters. If you go back in history in this show, I've always been a fan of the UK fighters. But I think that Leon Edwards may be biting off more than he can chew, you know, really stepping up to, like I said, Jorge Masvidal in his last fight, getting that three-piece in the soda. And I think that RDA is going to take him seriously, and I think RDA is going to drag Leon Edwards into the championship rounds and really beat him up, guys. I'm going to take RDA. I'm going to take RDA early. I'm going to say in the fourth round by TKO.
Wow.
I wanted to say early in the fifth.
Cool.
I wanted to say early in the fifth there, but I changed my mind. So if that happens, marks off of what I said. Go ahead.
Plus, that the doors are closed. So there's nothing wrong with that pick at all. You know,
I think RDA is tough at that weight, man. I think he's going to be tough at that weight. You know, I mean, we've seen what he can do.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
It's good. It's a good fight, and that's why I think it's a good fight, because we're talking about it so much. Okay, guys, let's go ahead and move on to the co-main event. To the heavyweight division we go, DJ Tony. Alexei, DJ Tony's favorite old-time fighter, Olenek versus Walt Harris, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, Alexei, the boa constrictor, Olenek, coming at us at number 9 in this heavyweight division. 57, 11-1. Of course, DJ Tony loved to point out Alexei's record, 6'2" against number 14, the big ticket, Walt Harris. Record 11-7-0-1, no contest. 6'5". Wow. Let me tell you what. Pammy, let's throw to you, because this is your boy, right? Let's throw to you. What you got going on here in the co-main event?
I have Walt Harris against Alexei Nosferatu Olenek. Doesn't he look like Nosferatu?
It.
All right. So,
yeah.
You know,
said that before.
Walt,
I like it.
Yep. He does, though. Am I lying? Okay, so
no, you're not.
Let me get over here.
Let me get over here. I was looking at somebody. Okay. Walt Harris has KO power, period.
Okay.
He has won six and four of his last 10 with one no contest. TKO, Sergey Spivak, who? Daniel Spitz, who? Cyril Asker, I don't know who that is. It went over Chase Sherman. Okay. But you know what? Alexei, this dude is, he's that crazy. He's a combat sambo master. He's a black belt in jiu-jitsu. He is a fourth degree black belt in jiu-jitsu, not to be confused with jiu-jitsu, which is a Japanese martial art. He is 7-3 of his last 10. Five of those are by first round submission. This dude has 45 submissions. Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm picking him. I'm picking him with the first round submission.
You're picking
you
Olenek?
Uh huh. I'm picking Nosferatu Olenek. Yep. Come on.
Okay. And what did you say? You're picking him by what?
A first round submission. Please.
Okay. First sub. Okay, so Tony, before you go, let me just give the odds real quick, and Marco, you can weigh in on these odds when we get there. Walt Harris at a -150, Olenek at a +130. So DJ Tony, I apologize, Pammy, that I did not give you the odds at the top. So DJ Tony, what you got going on here in the co-main event of UFC on ESPN4?
Here's one thing that Pam forgot. And by the way, I love the fact that Pam always brings energy, even when she's sick. But here's the thing.
I know,
Walt
right?
Walt Harris, guys, who does have power. And by the way, I know him so well that I call him Walter Jermaine Harris. Nothing? Okay. Walt Harris, guys, as great as he is, or he's 12-7, so let's 12-7-1, so let's be honest. It's not a great record, right? And I think Marco will tell you both the RDA fight and this one, they're pick-ems. But if you look at Walt Harris, guys, he has beaten a lot of people but has troubles with the OVs and with the Ks. And I'm surprised that Pam didn't bring this up. So I think he's going to get submitted early as well. I'm picking second round submission. So we're going to give it up to the old guy, Alexei Olenek. Second round submission.
Okay. And just so we're clear, guys, I wanted to apologize. Sure Dog has Harris at a 12-7, but the UFC has his record as 11-7-1 no contest. So I do apologize for saying, something different than what you guys said.
I think you were right, Proteus. I think it's 12-7-1. I think you're right.
And won no contest. Yeah, but I was looking at it right now. There is a difference between the UFC's record and Sure Dog's record. So go with what you want there on that one. So Proteus is going to go, unfortunately, against both of you guys. I think that Walt Harris is the future of the division. I think that, Olenek is, again, very, very tough. And I have bet on him a number of times. But I'm going to go with Harris, and I'm going to go I think that Olenek is going to be a fair combatant in this fight, but I'm going to go with Harris in the second round TKO, guys. Let's throw to Marco. What you got going on, brother? Co-main event, UFC on ESPN4.
I mean, debating this fight because the odds are so close. And Will Harris had the reach advantage, the knockout power.
Yep.
But what we can learn about Olenek is that he got a tough chin, and he's an excellent grappler. I mean, the Ezekiel Joe should be renamed the Olenek Show because he has done it more than anybody
Correct.
Else in UFC history. And the guy's just amazing grappler. And we have seen Will Harris does not handle well like grapplers. Verdun smoked him. When he came up on short notice against Verdun, I mean, Verdun just cut like knife through butter with him. If this fight goes to the ground, Harris is done. He has to keep the distance and hope for that puncher chance, I mean, he can do it, but he has not demonstrated to me that if Olenek takes him to the ground, he's going to be able to handle that. And Olenek is world class in the ground. I mean, we cannot deny that. The guy is world class on the bottom or on top. I'm going to go with Olenek just because of the pedigree.
Okay.
And because I know that his plan is he's going to want to trade with freaking Harris for as long as he can just get his hand on him and drag him to the ground or pull guard or whatever he needs to do and put a choke on Harris. Harris has not demonstrated to me that he has evolved enough to be able to handle submissions. So give me Olenek by the let's keep it interesting by second round submission, keep this Olenek show rolling.
Okay. Well, I mean, again, you guys make good points. If this goes to the ground, yeah, of course, Olenek is going to get this one done. I mean, it's right there in his nickname. Let's throw to everyone's favorite segment of the show, DJ Tony, Spotlight Fight of the Night. Okay. So let's roll right into it, Marco. Spotlight Fight of the Night for you, brother.
So,
all right, Marco, let's throw right into it. Spotlight Fight of the Night, everyone's favorite segment. What do you got for your Spotlight Fight of the Night this week, brother?
Okay, this card is a sneaky good if you disregard the like,
it's a good one, right?
Yeah, so
sneaky
a lot
good.
Of heavyweight fights, and there's a lot of like recognizable names. I'm going to go with Alex Hernandez and Trujillo. Francisco Trinaldo. I seen Alex Hernandez got a little bit exposed against freaking Cerrone, but it's not for lack of talent. I mean, he got a little bit of a confident, underestimated Cerrone, and he learned a lesson. I think he's going to rebound on this Trinaldo fight. And I'm going to pick Alex Hernandez by second round TKO, in a good rebound out, because I think this guy is the future of the division. He's super talented. And I got a good feeling here. Alex will show up for this fight, so give me a second round TKO.
Yeah, and I've said the same thing about Hernandez. I think, he probably did shit the bed against Cowboy, but what are you going to do? It's Cowboy. Pammy, what's the spotlight for the night?
Well, dang it, I had the same thing picked. I had Hernandez and Trinaldo. And I think this fight was made, was matched for Alexander Hernandez to win. Young guy, 26. And I think that, he's 26, he's good looking, and I think they want to try to promote him. But,
of course,
Francisco Trinaldo is almost a senior citizen at 40 years old. This dude, striking, jiu-jitsu, kickboxing, and wrestling, has won 8 of his last 10. You can't count my brothers out, my Brazilian brothers out. I've got him winning by decision. Sorry, Marco.
Look at me and Trinaldo head to head on the spotlight fight. I like that. Bragging rights for the one that wins.
Yeah, head to head for the bottom of the barrel for the picks of this year from Marco and Pam. Just saying.
Oh, did we mess
nothing,
it up for
you? Nothing. Okay. It's okay. We'll get to the results in just a minute, ladies
that
and gentlemen.
That sounds like
we'll
a Tony joke.
Just a minute. Yeah, okay. All right, TJ Tony.
I'll make it quick so we can keep moving. Women's bantamweight, we go. Raquel Pennington will fight a very good boxer and maybe a future 145 champion, Irene Aldana. I'm going Irene Aldana in a tough, tough split decision victory over Rocky Pennington.
All right, we didn't want to cue the music for Pennington.
Dude, no way. There will be no Careless Whisper tonight.
All right. Okay, so again, as I do always when Ray Borg is on a fight card, I'd like to give out a shout-out to Ray Borg and, all the struggles that he's had in his family life. So shout-out to Ray Borg. But I'm going to go with James Vick versus Dan Hooker for my spotlight fight of the night. I think that Hooker has shown that he is a really tough fighter, and James Vick being the long, lanky kind of guy, maybe the UFC is feeding James Vick to Dan Hooker, but I don't know. But I'm going to go ahead and take Hooker. I'm going to go ahead and take him by second round KO because that guy's tough as fucking nails.
That's
all right.
Fight. Hey, doesn't that fight got fight of the night written all over it?
For sure. I think that that's going to be tightly contested, ladies and gentlemen. All right, before we get into the MMA Rewind, which, of course, is we review the fights from last week, we will also go ahead and give you the results because this is a pick show. And somebody at the end of the week after the picks gets the belt. And, I mean, I'm not going to get out of control here and say that it's been on my shoulder for a number of weeks, but I'm going to go ahead and say that it's been on my shoulder for a number of weeks. And I think the Proteus has won 90% of the events this week. So let's go ahead and get into the results here.
We're letting you win because you're Canadian. Yep.
I'll take it. You weren't letting me win for the last 2 years of this show, so I'll take it. No worries. All right. So listen, we did have a different spotlights fights of the night. Go ahead, Marco.
I was gonna call you. What are you, the George St. Pierre of the picks lately?
I definitely will take that. Hashtag. I'll take that. All right. So let's go ahead and get the results real quick, and I'll get it out of the way. DJ Tony and I tied this week because Marco and Pam, you guys didn't have good picks. Pam, you picked Ladd with a KO in the second, so no point there, Marco. We'll get into it real quickly. Marco, you did pick Simone, and he had a bad day. DJ Tony, you picked Ruben and not Bud, so you had a bad day. So, anyways, it came down, I think, DJ Tony, it came down to our spotlight fights of night because, DJ Tony, we had the Bellator fights, and, of course, you had Leslie Smith, and you had her by decision, so you got 2 points for that. And my spotlight fight of the night came through, but I did also, get the Bud fight correct, and I did get the TKO with Jermaine Durandamy. All right, so guys, let's go ahead and throw to a little MMA Rewind. Marco, cue that music.
Rewind.
All right, guys. So as I mentioned to Marco before we went on the air, I wanted to start with Marco because he did on air try to fight for the Simon versus your boy, the California kid. And it didn't really work out for you, Marco. So let's go ahead and throw to you on this one. This was your spotlight fight of the night. What happened, brother? I mean, seems like the 40-year-old man kind of came through in the end.
Okay. If you talk to all the analysts, to the freaking Vegas odds, everybody and their mother was thinking, Ricky Simon was a 3-1 favorite, dude. So what am I supposed to do when freaking Uriah Faber decides to rewind the tape and decide that he can punch like he was punching in the WEC? He hasn't had a TKO since 2012. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. I mean, good for Uriah Faber. Don't get me wrong. I was happy. I was celebrating. But nobody saw that coming. Don't lie to me. You told me you saw that coming because nobody saw that coming.
Sit down, young man.
Yeah, I'm happy for him, dude. I mean, 40 years old, he probably is going to have to get one more win before he can get that Seguro fight, because according to Dana White, Seguro has to defend that flyweight title against Joseph Benavidez when he comes out for his shoulder surgery. And he still got a TJ Dillashaw fight waiting for him a year and a half from now. I mean, well, it's 18 months, you know? 18 months is nothing. He's going to be 41 and a half. A John Buck like Uriah Faber can't wait that long. Good for him, dude. I mean, I can't complain. I was happy. I was surprised. And it was a feel-good story. I liked the guy when I met him. He's super cool with the fans. And what can you say, man? He's the king of Sacramento. And the MMA goes, we're not going to let Uriah Faber lose in Sacramento.
All right. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, again, I as I said last week, I didn't really want to talk about, you know, Uriah Faber coming back and him getting a fight again, but he did come through. And from what I hear from my casual friend, because I like to hear what the casuals like to say, and you know my friend Stephen Savory, he was like, "Well, I mean, Uriah was getting beat up until he got that right hand in." And again, it comes down to a game of inches, right, Marco? Anything can happen, and Simon just seem to not take that shot very well. And let's be honest, you know, Uriah has had 2 years off, and, you know, maybe I'm not throwing any shade. I'm not throwing any shade, Marco, but, you know, non-audit supplements may have slipped into his regimen. I'm just saying.
I don't know, man. PJ Dillashaw was cheating there, you know.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I should have knew about it. I don't want to say anything because he never tested. I mean, he never took himself out of the USADA pool while he was retired. Let's be fair. To the 2.5 years he was not fighting, he was still in the USADA pool. He never took himself out.
Did they test him?
Dude, they tested him the day his wife was freaking on labor. Like, he gave a freaking sample the day his girlfriend or wife or whatever was freaking delivering his baby. Yeah, he's been tested for the
last... I didn't know that.
He's been tested for the last 2.5 years. He never took himself out of the pool. That's why his quote-unquote retirement was never official, because he was still being tested. Yeah. So, I mean, you can throw allegations, but the guy was still on the testing pool.
No allegations. So, you just put those allegations to rest, so no worries, Marco. I mean... You're the man.
How fucked up is that USADA came and asked for a sample the day his wife was in labor, man? That is fucked up.
Well, they don't know. They don't know what's going down.
Dude, they went to the hospital to collect the sample.
All right. Let's move on. Tammy, we gotta get out of this show. Tammy, let's throw to you because as I mentioned earlier on in the show, you did pick Aspen Ladd to go ahead and get this one done by KO. And let's just recap because we saw Ladd get on the scale, and we saw Ladd as usual not looking good on the scale. And we went back and forth with text messages, Tammy. You know, talking about Aspen Ladd, and I said, you know what, she always looks terrible, but she always gets it done. But she looked especially terrible on the scale this time, and you know, she got caught with one really stiff right hand, and that was all she wrote. So, Pammy, let's go and get your comments.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you know, to the people who are, you know, early stoppage. Now, I am not a fighter by any means. I'm a lover. Anyway, I told you, I got dehydrated today. I got dehydrated, and I'm sitting in an air-conditioned room in my office. I thought I was going to be sick. I actually had to walk next door, and I was so lightheaded and dizzy. So I don't care what you say. I don't care. You can't tell me that looking like that and then you're 100% the next day. You can't tell me that that's possible. So do I think it was an early stoppage? I do not, because I think if they wouldn't have stopped it, I think that she was really going to get hurt. She looked, I mean, terrible. I don't know. Does she need to go up a weight class? I don't know, but I don't think it was an early stoppage. I'm glad they did stop it before she got really, really hurt, you know?
Yeah, DJ Tony, I mean, it looked fairly reminiscent to what we saw Holly Holm, kind of how Holly Holm reacted to getting hit upside the head. And I get what people are saying, that maybe Herb Dean was jumping the gun. But again, as we've said many times on this show, DJ Tony, and I know Herb Dean is not your best friend, but we've said many times on this show that it's better to stop the fight before – you know, the fighter incurs too much damage.
On the side of caution easily.
Exactly. That's what,
you know, and then again,
exactly
Holly Holm has never looked like that on the scale either.
Right. So, yeah. I mean,
and she's a lot bigger.
Weight cutting aside, guys, let's not get into that argument right now because I want to get this show over with, but that's another show for another time. But DJ Tony, you know, you saw what Aspen Ladd looked like on the scale. And, of course, as Marco said last week, you know, there's levels to this shit. And I think Jermaine Durand and me kind of showed that, you know, maybe Aspen Ladd isn't ready for the top level just yet. And, of course, she's very young. So, DJ Tony, what did you think in the main event of UFC Fight Night 155?
Well, I thought this was going to happen just because just experience and just the fact that Aspen Ladd actually doesn't have a lot of good head movement. So she does get hit quite a bit, but she's typically strong. The tough part is she's always had trouble making weight, and she's not that big, guys. I mean, she's not that tall for her to have those type of issues, and she certainly doesn't carry a lot of weight. So maybe she's just big boned. I'm not sure. But I mean, the problem is you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. I'm actually a big, I'm not a big Herb Dean fan, but I like the man. I like him so much. I call him Dean Herb, but, really do like Herb Dean. I kid you not. I really do like him, but he's had a lot of mistakes. Either he stops it too late where poor Chris Weidman almost, you know, took a beating from Luke Hockhold, or he stops it way too early. In this case, I do think it was an early stoppage, but I think it was going to be the same thing. I think she was eventually going to lose anyway. So
hey, Marco, let's throw to you quickly. And what do you think here, brother?
We always think it like, you know, the set of caution that it was a bad freaking, solid punch. And they seem like if you look, watch it in slow motion, from the angle of her being, you see Aspen last eyes get all glazed up, and then she gets turned around completely, and then she falls forward. That's always a bad sign, dude. You maybe could have let it go a couple of more seconds, but what would have been the point? You could have get blasted because the runner was coming with the heat up there. And when it comes to the weight on fight night, the runner looks bigger than her. So I see it's an issue. Maybe she needs to get a nutritionist, or maybe she needs to go to the USCPI so they can help her lose the weight properly. Because other people have done it and they have had very good results. Come to USCPI, I don't think she's done it yet because she's not really, she doesn't look that big on fight night. I mean, literally, the randomly look bigger than her. And the randomly had several 45 boxing fights that she can weight and all the fights that she had on MMA, so a different animal with that. But I wasn't too upset with the stoppage, and I was getting too hard on her then, man. Because he's on these high-profile fights, maybe we harp on it a lot, but I don't think he's making that many mistakes. He just gets highlighted more because they're high-profile. So, well, it is what it is, man.
Can I add something real quick to that, too? Is she didn't seem very upset by the stoppage either, so.
No, she definitely did not. She kind of looked up for a second and was like, what? And then she was like, yeah, okay. I don't really
Maybe
know
she
where
was
I
like,
am.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Look, thank you, Jesus.
Well, to whomever she prays to, sure. Mm-hmm. Street Jesus. Got it. I think someone wants to worship at his altar. Okay. Ding, ding, ding. I think that if you guys go back and look at that right hook from Durandamy and see how well she was able to cock that thing back and just throw it, there's no doubt in my mind that that was the correct stoppage. And I had no problem with the stoppage. Yes, it was quick, but that's what it needed to be. And, I think there's a weight-cutting issue there. Okay. Pammy, let's throw to you because we're going to get out of here, and I wanted you to give your guilty pleasure or tell us a little bit more about the EMU experience that you had this weekend. Go ahead and throw to that, whatever you got.
So my guilty pleasure as of late, I don't know if y'all know, but you know me, I love animals. So I've been, I rescue possums, and I went and picked up a possum today that needed to be picked up, and I volunteer for this group called Skywatch, and they it's birds, but it's little animals too. So I took my little possum and I was touring the place, and I got accosted by emus. And man, like I said, I have never laughed so hard in my life. These are the funniest birds. I posted a little video on my Twitter. So if you get a chance, look at it. And I am just laughing in hysterics because these little critters are the funniest things ever. And now I want one or two. Or three
and
or
Pam,
four.
And Pam, where are you tweeting from?
What kind of
this is called Skywatch.
Where are you tweeting from? What is your Twitter
Pandora
handle?
Box, two X's.
What kind of bird is this that you want?
emu.
It's an emu. Which is a...
It's a cousin of the freaking ostrich, yeah.
Yeah, they're like baby dinosaurs. They're so cute.
Yeah, they will kick you and kill you.
Yeah, they definitely
you.
Will.
That's a cassowary. Those are the freaking devil birds that'll kill you. They've got that claw, and they
claw you together. That's what they defend themselves. Don't get an emu.
I have a baby dinosaur here. His name is Cedric. He's the devil.
Okay.
All right. So let's move on, ladies and gentlemen. DJ Tony, if you've got a guilty pleasure, if you've got a Twitter follow of the week, please give it to us.
My Twitter follow of the week will also be my guilty pleasure, which is Pam's Paul. We're going to do Paul's casual main event. He has RDA.
The Pony Show?
The Pony Show. Shout out to Paul and Tony, the Pony. Paul's casual picks, RDA versus Edwards. He's got RDA with a fourth round submission, spotlight fight, Vic, and he also, Paul also likes hookers. Vic versus Hooker, he's taking Hooker with the second round TKO, meaning Proteus picked Hooker. I better get that straight. And Arlovsky versus Rockwell, which we forgot. He's got Rockwell. Submission.
Third round.
You know, I'm performing Saturday night, so I'm going to do my thing and we're picking off.
If Paul win next week, I want to start doing picks, right? Because he's like the casual of the casual.
All right, so let's go ahead and move on, ladies and gentlemen. I don't have a Proteus' shower pick for you this week because we don't have time. So let's go ahead and get out of here, and we'll see you next week. Ladies and gentlemen, for Smack My Picks Up, Holloway versus Edgar, of course, UFC 240. Marco, give us your guilty pleasure of the week or your Twitter follow and get us out of here, brother.
So, my guilty pleasure has been the Contender Series. They gave four contracts last night. The only reason they didn't give five is because the guy that won the decision missed weight by six freaking pounds.
I thought it was seven.
Well, some six and a half. Whatever. Really good show. The show is super exciting. So check it out. You got ESPN Plus or UFC Fight Pass.
Hey, Marco.
What?
Does he get a second chance or is he done?
They're going to give him a second chance. Then I'll say.
Okay, good.
They're going to give it over by the end of the season, I touch it.
Okay,
follow Prince and Australia, follow the IDA Tunnel, follow me, Maldo Marco. Follow the show, another MMA cast. Rate and review us, Knucklehead. You know, we're on iTunes, Blacktop Radio, Google Play. Find us, you can find us, you know, Google it. You can find us on ESPN proper this weekend, so you cannot complain that it's on ESPN Plus. You know, go and find it on your damn dial. We're going to leave you guys, catch you guys next week. Enjoy the fights.
And just quickly, we apologize to Laura Sanko. We ran out of time for her on the program. Pammy, just like that.
We are out of here. Bye-bye.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.